Brother Ron Daniels, a former executive of the Rainbow Coalition and the announced candidate for the President of the United States.
Thank you very much, Brother Doug, and let me make the first point of clarification about what it is I intend to do in 1992. And it is not that I am an announced candidate for president. What I have announced is that I am seriously considering the proposition. And considering it means that it is important to come to fora like these in order to get the input, the questions, the ideas and suggestions and recommendations of people from around the country as to whether or not they think, number one, an independent candidacy in 1992 makes sense, and secondly, whether or not the ideas being articulated by a Ron Daniels are sufficient that he might be the person who might take up the gauntlet, or whether or not someone else might be more qualified to take up the task. So I am simply at this stage indicating my interest, and I will not kid you, I am serious about the interest, but I will not move forward unless there is substantial consensus among not only the activist community, but a broad sector of people beyond that, that this is a proposition that makes sense. Let me start off by saying that I approach this discussion from what might be called ideologically a race class. A race class perspective. And Doug has already sort of touched on that. I think that one of the documents that all of us need to go back and read is the Gary Declaration of 1972. The 1972 convention for me has been a kind of guiding document, particularly the Gary Declaration, which said, in effect, that the crises we face as black people are the crises of an entire system. They go deep to the very marrow, to the very essence of the society itself in terms of white racism and white capitalism, racism and capitalism. And it laid out the notion of a politics of social transformation. It laid out a call for a new society. It suggested that the society as is not sufficient, and that we need to talk about therefore changing it. In my judgment, without giving a long history of movements in this country, the National Rainbow Coalition, of which I had the privilege of serving as the executive director for in 1987, offered the greatest possibility for social transformation of any movement I'm aware of since the populist movement in the 19th century. That is to say that it combined a broad range of constituencies that had a progressive politics. The populist movement was a movement essentially that emanated out of the white community, and black people joined it, black farmers and workers joined it to challenge the establishment in the South. The Rainbow Coalition had even greater promise because the notion of the black base and black leadership and the centrality of the black base and black leadership was essentially taken for granted in the sense that Jesse Jackson brought that with him. And so what we had, unlike the populist movement, were white people and others joining essentially a black-led movement, as opposed to the populist movement being one where African Americans were invited to join. Of course, in the final analysis, the populist movement was sold out on the basis of racism, and it seemed to me, therefore, again, the Rainbow Coalition had great potential. The problem, it seems to me, with the Rainbow Coalition is that, well, let me just say another thing. The Rainbow Coalition, it seems to me, also had great promise because, in my judgment, it is an inside-outside strategy that we ought to be putting forth. I would place greater emphasis on the outside part of the strategy, but nonetheless, it seems to me that we ought to be pushing for people inside the Democratic Party to make the Democratic Party as responsive as we can. And certainly Jesse Jackson's 84 and 88 campaigns contributed to that mightily. But it seems to me that we also need an outside strategy. That is to say that in addition to being able to support Republicans or Democrats and or in some odd circumstances Republicans or other political parties, we also need the capacity to have our own independent thrust based on an independent agenda and a progressive agenda. For me, it also means that the Rainbow Coalition, it seems to me, had that capacity. It also had the capacity to touch on or to implement something else that I think Doug touched on. For many of us who argued for independent black politics in the 70s and the 80s, were defiant in our notion that elections cannot be defined as politics. That elections are a part of politics, but politics is at least the capacity to organize protests, the capacity to mobilize people around issues, to build institutions, to develop communities, to provide services, and then to talk about elections and lobbying. It is all of those things. It must be multidimensional in terms of its thrust. And so therefore, as I said earlier, I think the Rainbow Coalition could have done all of those things. Fact of the matter is that the Rainbow Coalition has essentially become a force inside of the Democratic Party. Inside the Democratic Party, very much tied to the aspirations of Jesse Lewis Jackson for President of the United States. And I don't have an argument with that about that. I'm not criticizing that. I'm simply making that as a statement of fact, that Jesse Jackson has moved the Rainbow Coalition inside the Democratic Party, which means that there is an urgent need for the outside component of the strategy. And so what I have begun to look at is the possibility of looking at 1992 for an independent presidential run, because in 1984 and in 1988, after Jesse ran for president and did not win, and in fact was largely insulted by the Democratic Party, both in 84 and in 88, it's a question of what did we have that was authentic, legitimate, and viable in the November election. And it seems to me that we fell short in that regard. And my sense is that we should not let that happen again in 1992. And so my sense is that we ought to look at an independent presidential candidate in 1992. And for me, the historical reference or precedent is 1976, where the National Black Political Assembly talked about running a black presidential candidate. Five persons were mentioned, either Dellums, Conyers, Hatcher, Dick Gregory, and Julian Bonn. And what we talked about doing was having them run for president, not because they would win the presidency, but because there was a need to put squarely and clearly before the people, including African Americans first and foremost, a progressive agenda. And secondly, to mobilize the people and organize the people, and to provide for voter registration and education, and to expand the progressive movement in terms of a permanent vehicle beyond 1976. I see no need to change those objectives. The principal objective of a 1992 presidential run would be for political education, to expose the contradictions in the American political economy, to organize people, to mobilize and organize people to be a part of this effort, to put forth a progressive platform, and finally, again, to put together a mechanism which could last beyond the 1992 elections and contest for power at the local level and state level, both in terms of elections and issues and the question of lobbying and the broad range of multidimensional factors that I've laid out. Now, it seems to me that there are certain principles that are important in terms of any thrust of this kind. The first one is that there must be an acknowledgement of all forces of the centrality of the African-American agenda and the need for leadership from African-Americans and people of color. And I would say also the question of poor people and working people. Those who are victimized most by the current systems of society have to be in the leadership. The long history of both racism and in some ways even more insidiously the question of paternalism demands that African Americans and people of color be acknowledged as the leadership of such a movement. Secondly, it seems to me that we have to also place a heavy emphasis on youth. That we have in this country 70 million people who are not registered to vote. Two-thirds of those are low-income people. Of that, 8 million are African-Americans, and a sizable segment of the African-Americans who are not registered to vote are young African-Americans between the ages of 18 and 24. And so we need to talk about involving large numbers of young people in terms of a significant target, in terms of not only them doing the legwork, but being involved in the forefront of this kind of endeavor. The other thing that it seems to me that's of principal importance of the question is making the African-American agenda. Key issues which are of importance to the African-American community have to constitute the foundation for the agenda. First of those issues, in my opinion, is the question of reparations. That this is a cutting-edge issue which we have to put as a number one issue in terms of a progressive platform. And that all others who seek to join in this endeavor have to accept this proposition, that America, if it is in fact to be whole, has to deal with the question of healing the damage done historically to African Americans, for Africans in this country. And there are other issues, the question of a domestic Marshall Plan, the question of D.C. statehood, the question of black land loss in the South, and some fundamental questions about what our relationship to the American state is. For example, in South Africa, they're talking about constitutional guarantees for the white minority, which has been a privileged minority, which has victimized the majority. It seems to me we need to turn that concept on its head in the United States. African Americans have been a historically victimized and oppressed minority. Why should the Supreme Court be able to change its mind about our rights every 20 or 25 years? We need to be talking about constitutional guarantees that the rights of African people in this country as a historically oppressed minority cannot be violated by the majority. So we need to raise those kinds of questions. It was Martin Delaney who said that we must become a part of the essential ruling element of this society. Therefore, it seems to me, as we argued in 1972, why should not African Americans have proportional representation? Proportional representation at all levels of government in this society. It seems to me that a campaign ought to raise those kinds of issues. Beyond that, the broader convergence issues, a peace economy, the question of full employment, a national health service. America is the only Western industrialized nation that does not have a health insurance program for its citizens. Universal education. 60 million people in this country cannot read and write. Some functionally illiterate, others absolutely illiterate. You go to Cuba, everybody can read and write, has health care, has free education. Why shouldn't we have the same thing in America? These issues need to be raised. Despite the fact that it's supposed to be a peace dividend, we have not seen a peace dividend. It's being gobbled up by the Persian Gulf currently. And after the Persian Gulf, there'll be some other mad, insane misadventure to gobble up the peace dividend. We ought to insist, as McNamara, who was a former defense secretary, said, that we can cut the defense budget by 50%. That translates into $1.5 trillion over the next decade. We need to be talking about those kinds of substantial cuts. Now, in terms of, so those are some of the issues I think that would be out there. In terms of structure, I have advanced the notion of organizing a national committee for a progressive politics. And I can say that the model for 92 is 76. I don't see a need to reinvent the wheel. We had in 1976 a national committee for people's politics, which included such forces as the American Indian Movement, the Puerto Rican Socialist Party, the Mass Party Organizing Committee, the New American Movement, Fight Back, the United Electrical Workers. A number of forces came together to comprise a National Committee for People's Politics. I say in 92, National Committee for Progressive Politics. This would include all of the diverse forces. It would include caucuses for Latinos and Native Americans, African Americans, and Asian Americans, Arab Americans, other people of color, so that their interests could not be violated, because they would have the capacity to veto any action taken by the majority which would violate the interest and integrity of a particular constituency. This National Committee for People's Politics would be organized state by state, so there would be a committee in New York and in Illinois and Ohio, all the various states around the country. And the states would then organize local committees for a progressive politics. These committees become the basis for the continuations beyond 1992. The objective would be to keep these committees in place to engage in political struggle beyond 1992. What would these committees do, among other things? They would deal with issues on the local level. They would adopt agendas, a progressive agenda, in each locale, in each state, because action needs to be taken in each community, as well as action in each state capital around a progressive policy agenda. They would deal with elections, but in dealing with elections, they would evaluate candidates on the basis of the agenda. They would have candidate report cards to evaluate incumbents and those who aspire for office. And then we would have geographic-based participation, because we really need to take a political organization right down to the precinct level. Many of us are busy organizing the other side of town but have no knowledge of the issues in our very block. And so we need to talk about some geographic-based organizing in terms of precinct by precinct organizing. Such a structure would therefore provide for political accountability. Most elected officials, including black elected officials, are not accountable to anyone except themselves. We must force them to be accountable, and the way to do that is by building accountability structures like I'm talking about at the local level. Finally, we would have two other things in terms of the 92 campaign. A progressive cabinet. It would not just be a Ron Daniels running for office and a vice presidential candidate. We would have a progressive cabinet. So therefore, leading progressives would person these various positions like defense and health and human services, environment, Secretary of State, UN, housing and urban development. We would have a range of progressives articulating the platform and the positions of our campaign. So it would not just be a single person, it would be a collectivity of persons with the presidential candidate, so to speak, leading the ticket. Finally, I see a progressive convention taking place. And I must say that I felt a little bit taken aback in 1988 because Jesse Jackson had promised us that we should have a convention. I proposed that we have a convention after the Democrats and Republicans meet to evaluate the Democrats and the Republicans and talk about a kind of direction. I propose that we do that in 1992. That once the Democrats have met and the Republicans have met, we need a progressive convention, a large progressive convention. Because in a sense, having 500 people gather will not have impact. Because the media, to some extent in this society, is the message. So not only because we need to be there in principle, but because of the impact it would have politically, we need to gather 3,000 to 5,000 people. Every state ought to have its state conventions to elect its delegates, to adopt its agenda, so that this input coming from the bottom up in terms of the overall program and the overall direction of the campaign. We ought to meet after the Democrats and Republicans to have our show. And a part of it should be a show. It should be the progressive show to America in terms of what our positions are and what it is that we're about. Then we would launch the campaign, get it on, and capture what I hope would be at least 750,000 to 1.5 million votes. Because if we're going to do this, we have to be serious about it. And anything less than about 1 million votes, it seems to be, is not worth investing our time and energy in. So that's what I'm proposing to look at in terms of 1992. And I hope that we'll have ample time to discuss it and deal with it. In terms of my own preparations and plans, I'm prepared to devote full time to doing the political organizing. I have stopped doing consulting work, which is what I was doing to sort of eat. I'm now lecturing to eat and hope that there are people out there who are anxious to hear me speak, because when I speak, I do eat, putting it bluntly. And secondly, we are raising money by offering up some paraphernalia, this poster, which is called A Pledge to African People. The resources from that go to what I call Project New Tomorrow, which is the pre-exploratory phase of our campaign. And we're raising money by also using that. We're also moving around the country. We've just come from 5 days in California. We'll be in Oklahoma next week, and week after next, we'll be in Philadelphia. And then we are looking to go to South Carolina, Louisiana, a number of places around the country to have discussions with key leaders of the progressive movement, and also mass meetings, do media work, so we can begin to get a sense of the response. I can say so far it's been relatively favorable. Some good hard questions have been asked, which I think need to be asked, but we also are happy to say that we've recruited so far about 250 students from around the country off of our speaking engagements who say they are down with the proposition. Thank you very much.
Thank you.